The lights are on red. We're away.
Welcome to MotoGPOD, the internet radio show all about motorcycle road racing. My name is Jim Race, I'll be your host, and this is episode number 68. For tonight's episode, we're going to do a bit of an ass and wrap-up. Quite a race last weekend, filled with drama prior to the race, and certainly during it. We'll go through all that. We'll do a bit of an injury update, given the state and status of a bunch of the riders, and also talk a little bit about the rider exchanges and whatever might be new for Donington. And speaking of Donington, we will do a Donington preview. I look forward to it. I'm glad you folks downloaded this. Thanks for listening to MotoGPOD, and let's get on with it. So, if you remember from last week's podcast, we talked a bit about Thursday free practice, unusual in that the Assen race does occur on a Saturday, so we get a bit of a lead into that, and so we already had some information. And the big story from free practice 1 and also free practice 2 was the crash of Valentino Rossi. Why do we always talk about Rossi? Well, there's good reason. He is a multi-world champion in all of the disciplines that have supported the GP ranks for many years. And given his bike woes, as well as his rider woes, crashes, and then all of a sudden we have a crash that actually injures him. What it turned out to be, just to recap, was a fractured wrist, which was the most significant of his injuries. It may not sound like it, but it was his right wrist, which leads to the throttle and the brake. Secondarily, his left ankle, gear shifting and whatnot. That was apparently not as serious and doesn't seem to be bothering him as much now, but we'll talk about the injury wrap-up a bit later. So, we had Rossi seriously damaged. We had Elias more seriously damaged with a broken shoulder, and in fact, he sat out the race. We went through both FP1, FP2, FP3, and qualifying. Qualifying came up with some surprises on a dry track, on a track that was somewhat new to a lot of the riders. Well, not new per se, but highly modified and not necessarily enjoyed by everybody. We ended up with kind of a surprise. Well, kind of a surprise. We ended up with quite a surprise, given that we've got guys that are the top guys that are injured, and some people, as I said last week, that are stepping up to the plate with this opportunity to stand out and shine. What did we end up with in qualifying? Well, very simply, a rise of who else but John Hopkins on the pole. Amazing. And that was his first pole, but right behind him was Shinya Nakano. Whoa, okay, so Kawasaki's up there as well. And Colin Edwards, a resurgent Colin Edwards, maybe not resurgent, but filling in bigger shoes than he needs to. He's got to step up right now for Yamaha and fill the void, and he too sees an opportunity, even though he's on the same team and on the same bike, the M1. Row 2, Nikki Hayden, solid as ever. Danny Pedrosa, his Repsol teammate, and Christopher Mullen, doing quite well on the second Suzuki. Third row, a very battered and visibly battered Marco Melandri. Looked like he'd been in a barroom brawl and probably felt like it too, up on the third row. One of the Tech 3 Yamahas, Carlos Checa, and Alex Hoffman riding Sete Gibernau's bike and probably pretty pleased with himself. Gridded ninth. 10th through 12th, Kenny Roberts Jr. on the Team Roberts Honda powered bike. Their chassis, by the way, last week was the final iteration, and this week coming up at Donington, they will have the brand new chassis, and feeling very positive about that. I'll talk about more of that later. Randy DePunier on the other Kawasaki. Casey Stoner a little bit back, perhaps licking his wounds from some of his previous crashes in the previous 2 weeks. Makoto Tamada, James Ellison on another Tech 3, so those Dunlops seem to be picking up. Additionally and horribly battered, Loris Caparossi. You could see during the video that I saw of both the free practices and qualifying as well that Loris was in some serious pain and breathing was actually very difficult. So hats off to him. What name haven't we mentioned yet? Well, we got Jose Luis Cardoza on the last row. Ivan Silva, who was a replacement for Hoffman as he bunny hopped up to Gibernau's bike for Dantin Ducati. And last person. And at least he is going to ride, and we'll see what he does in the race, is Valentino Rossi. Gridded last. Wow. Okay, so obviously a very interesting, once again, mixed up and what's the word I'm looking for? Jumbled grid. You had an idea that something was going to occur during this race, but it didn't necessarily come out the way that we thought. We've got Rossi all the way in the back, obviously hurting. His lap times were nothing to be excited about, and in fact, the times that he actually did manage to garner for his qualifying effort always occurred on the last lap or two of his qualifying and free practice. So clearly damaged, and you can see that as well in the video. They were Dr. Costa and his staff, as well as the entire M1 team or your Camel Yamaha team. We're going to all sorts of trials and tribulations trying to get his bike set up. So, Rossi in the back, Hopkins in the front. Who would have guessed? Well, let's talk about the race a bit. So, let's talk about our front row. Once again, we've got Hopper on pole. We have Shinji Nakano second, and, of course, Colin Edwards third. 1, 2, 3 across the front. Red goes out, flag drops, and they are away. I'm going to sort of breeze through the race here. I don't want to go through it in any super huge detail because there weren't any super dramatic moments, frankly, until the last few laps of the race. So, Colin got a huge jump. And well, not a huge jump, but the guy was a man on a mission. He had had a great qualifying effort. He was consistently fastest in the longest number of laps, or consecutive number of laps that were run at his pace. So everybody knew he was going to be strong. Everybody knew he was going to be hot off the line, and indeed he was. End of lap one, we're talking about Colin, Hopkins, Nakano, and Hayden. And Hayden didn't get a great start, and in fact had to work his way around a couple of bikes just to be in fourth at the end of that lap. The guy knew that Colin was going to get away as strong. Nicky essentially had his points lead to protect, but perhaps something to prove, and we'll talk about that later. It essentially, so we're talking, what are we talking about? We're talking Colin, we're talking Hopper, we're talking Shinya, and we're talking Nicky. And that balance stayed relatively fed for a while. Indeed, at the second lap, Nicky got past Shinya, but we lived for that for a bit, and it wasn't until lap 9 that Nicky managed to get around Hopper. So at this point, we are Colin, we are Nicky, we are John Hopkins, and we are Shinji Nakano. And again, it stayed that way for a bit. A little bit of shuffling behind there, but not too bad. In fact, so we're, let me rerun through here. So you've got Colin, Nicky, Hopper, and Shinya. Shinya, a few laps later, got past John Hopkins, and it stayed that way up until, and so we're talking a total of lap 9 through lap 24, 15 laps, that exact same sequence. Boring race? No. There was stuff going on behind it, but frankly, it wasn't, okay, I need to back up. What did we have? We had the injured guys in the middle. We had Melandri that was running a good, solid race, keeping a lot of the guys behind him. Melandri wants to keep on the points because he's up there near the top. We have, I was bad there, I should have covered this as well, but you know, you like to hear about what's happening in the front, but usually there's one guy that's always at the front, and that's Valentino Rossi, who started at the very back of the grid. And in lap one, he is 3 from the back, and he works his way up steadily. He works his way through through Caparossi, he works his way through the other Ducati, this time ridden by Hoffman, steadily works his way up, back to lap 24, and our running order is Colin Edwards, Nicky Hayden, Shinji Nakano, John Hopkins, by that time, had actually dropped back to fourth, and number 26 was up there, so good surprising run there. Kenny Roberts Jr. was running well, so you know, kind of spread out there. Lap 24, Valentino Rossi back in ninth. Lap 25 is when the excitement started to happen. Hayden was about maybe a second and a half behind Colin and realized, obviously, he had to do something relatively quickly if he wanted to get this race get his second win in MotoGP and perhaps foil Collins first. Both of these guys, as you well know, last week or the prior week, we had a great run of Americans. Now there's just two of these guys strictly up front with obviously Shinya Nakano, who's having a great race in third place. So what better can you ask for? Stoner, you know, he's back there, he's looking good. But what essentially happens? Nicky catches up to Colin, gets past him, because Nicky has been studying Colin for all these laps. Smart guy, 15 laps following the guy around. Good idea. Go to school on him. Nicky finds a spot, I believe it was corner three, where he realized that he could catch up to him and make some time on him. He switches lines around, he changes gear going through there, manages to catch up and pass Colin. Well, this starts a dice off for the next two laps, becomes fast and furious. At one point, going into turn one, Nicky gets around Colin, and Colin ends up running wide. In the layout of that particular circuit in Assen, running wide at that point really isn't a huge deficit, because you go across this relatively large, flat, paved, although narrowing from a grassy area into a small runoff that's about maybe 4 feet wide, which is excellent and a great run back onto the track for a motorcycle. So what happens? Nicky thinks Colin's gone. He actually didn't even know he ran off, but he comes around for the next lap, and he's got a second on his pit board. We're talking about the last lap here, so he's figuring maybe easy street, maybe not, but you got to keep your head down and keep going. About halfway through the lap, he hears Colin right behind him, and Colin indeed does pass him. This is about two or three corners from the end. Nicky, coming into the last chicane, goes for an outside pass into the final chicane, and if I don't sound excited here, it's pretty much because I've yelled myself hoarse, starting with Saturday's race and indeed through the rest of this week. Outside pass by Nicky Hayden attempted going into the chicane. Nicky hits an actual neutral, and basically blows the corner and heads into the gravel track. Meantime, Colin Edwards attempts to make the corner, runs a little bit wide, ends up on the AstroTurf or artificial turf there, hops back on the power to make sure that he is not beaten through there, and inadvertently or advertently or adversely certainly spins up the back tire, hops on the gas a little bit too hard, does a little mini high side, not the huge flick that you might expect, certainly wasn't launched off the bike, but it was enough to spit him handily off the right-hand side of the bike. The bike itself remained perfectly upright and completely in control, but the rider itself was summarily pitched off. The bike headed straight for the last outside fence coming, and at this point, you got to remember that both Nicky and Colin can see the checkered flag, so this is it. This is the end of the race. Long story short, Colin's bike crashes heavily into the outside wall. Colin himself is not hurt, except for his pride and his ego and whatever else might be there. He's very upset. He had a win almost in the bag due to a mistake at the end there. Managed to drop the bike and drop himself. What does that do? That hands Nicky the win. Not that he was handed the win. He certainly fought for it and certainly deserved it, and one guy finished the race first and the other guy didn't. Nicky takes his second win after Laguna Seca of last year. Very excited, very pumped. Coming in second, and the best result for Kawasaki, I believe, certainly in the modern era, and maybe back, I'd have to look that up, sorry about that. What do we get? We get Pedrosa inheriting third. So, very cool. We end up with a great finish. In the meantime, as I said, Rossi finished back in eighth. So I'll pull this up here real quick, and the results of the race: Nicky Hayden, Shinya Nakano, Danny Pedrosa, Casey Stoner taking fourth, Kenny Roberts Jr., another fine finish, Hopper back in sixth from his pole position, seventh through ninth, Melandri, Rossi, and Checa. So Tech 3 managed to finish up there pretty well. Rossi garnering some points, which you desperately need to have. You certainly don't want to have those starting back in 18th position, where there are no points. It's invisible back there. So that was 7th, 8th, 9th, ending with Checa. 10th, 11th, 12th, Vermeulen, Tomata, and Hoffman. So Hoffman didn't quite get the finish that he expected from the Ducati bike of Seta Gibernau, but he certainly had a pretty good effort. 13th through 15th, well, Colin managed to pick his bike up, and with the help of some corner workers, which I'm not positive is totally legal, because it kind of looks like where they were pushing it, but I'm certainly going to give him the effort and the drive to certainly push it across the finish line, or get it
started, it was maybe 50 yards or so, was Colin Edwards with a fine performance in the race, basically led the entire race until the last two laps, led 25 of the 26 laps, finished 13th. So he got points. Three, yes. Great, no. Not anything like 25 points he would have got for the win, but certainly a gutty performance. Number 14, Randy Depunier. So not so good from the start. Caparossi fought, managed to get a single point in his 15th position. Certainly not happy about the race, and we'll talk about injuries shortly. Ivan Silva on Hoffman's bike managed to put it one ahead of Jose Luis Cardoso, so the two Primac Dantine bikes were back there at the back. And unfortunately, James Ellison did not complete the race. He made 23 laps and was out. So that is your finish. It was quite the race. We had two Repsol riders, Nikki Hayden and Pedrosa, on the box, and a very jubilant and very excited Kawasaki man, Shinya Nakano. The points chase at this point is quite a bit different than anybody, well, it's not different than anybody would imagine, but it certainly is looking like Hayden has a commanding lead. How commanding is that? Well, Nikki Hayden has 144 points. That's with only a single victory, mind you, but he's been on the box 10 of 11 last time, so consistency has been the key for him. Number two, 42 points back, is Danny Pedrosa, so certainly not insurmountable, but Hayden's lead is moving away. Number three, Loris Caparossi, still in a fine position, but we'll have to see what injury his recovery has done for him this coming weekend at Donington. Number four, Valentino Rossi, a rather spooky 46 points back from Nicky, and don't be surprised if you see some interesting livery on his bike this weekend. 46 points back, number 46, you know that he's going to do something amusing just to keep the pain away. Melandri is still there in fifth. Stoner, Edwards, Nakano, Roberts Jr. making his way up. Tamata Elias, who, as I mentioned, is out. Hopkins, not where you'd expect him to be considering some of his finishes, but he's got 50 points, and that's not bad for Suzuki, certainly. Gibernau, all the way back with 44 points, way down the thing. Certainly not his year, and you got to wonder what's going to happen. Vermeulen, Checa, Hoffman, Depunier, Ellison, Cardoso, and Silva with no points. I was interested looking at the number of kilometers covered in a race. And what that essentially told me is that Hayden, to this point, so there's only a few guys that have actually finished every race, and I think that's key. But it's not necessarily those people that you think are necessarily top. Hayden is the only guy that's finished every race so far this year. Okay, that clearly leads to his points. But you have to work your way down all the way to Colin Edwards, who has also finished every race this year, albeit if the last one he was putting over the line with a very damaged motorcycle. Going down one more, Tamada finished every race this year. Farther down, anybody else? Well, there's one other guy. Can you guess who? Without cheating and looking at the sheet, I'm not going to give you time to do it. Carlos Checa has also finished every race this year and run every lap. Everybody else has had an incident at some point or another and has not made it to the end. You wonder about the points, you wonder about everything else. Well, that is going to tell you something. Take from that what you will. Let's talk about some injuries. Let's talk about some exchanges of riders. Let's talk about some miscellaneous stuff. And after that, we'll talk about the preview for Donington. And so clearly, the story of the week and the story, frankly, of the last 2 weeks has been a combination of the injuries that were suffered by riders at Catalunya, as well as Rossi and Elias's injuries at Assen in the pre-race festivities and practice. So what have we got coming out of this week heading into Donington? Well, we've got Elias definitely out. We have Rossi, who is on the mend and put in a stellar performance to come from the back of the pack up to 8th and definitely pick up some important points for his championship bid. And remember, what we're talking about right now is essentially the middle of the season, the tipping point, if you will, halfway through the season where it's not done yet. It's not a done deal. Granted, Nicky Hayden has a substantial lead, but not a commanding lead. And there are people behind him, most notably one Valentino Rossi, that certainly has the opportunity to get back into fine form and to make it up to the front. There are other riders as well that are coming on strong. Will they challenge for the very top? Who knows? Some of those are very inconsistent. So Rossi today said, in the pre-race press conference, that his ankle was essentially fine. Fine, yes, there is pain, but it's nothing that he feels that is going to interrupt in the race. But he did say that he still has some serious pain in his wrist. Well, last weekend at Assen, there were a whole lot of high-speed maneuvers by both the Clinica Mobile staff as well as the Camel team to try and get him in shape to get some points out of this race. We're talking injections into the hand, probably injections in the ankle as well, wrist wrappings, things like that. And on the mechanical side, you know, wrapping electrical tape around the throttle handle, probably putting in something even less than a fifth turn throttle or whatever the masters of these bikes use. Who knows, maybe a eighth turn throttle, because the key is not to have too much hand movement. But on top of that, you're talking about a right hand, a wrist, which has to perform a whole lot of maneuvers during a race. So, front brake. Twisted the wrist for the accelerator and, or the throttle, and frankly, the key to, if you put in a short throw throttle, what you're going to have is a bike that wants to react even more quickly. Now, everybody knows that Rossi is a master of throttle control. You can see it, and probably the best way to see it is on those lovely onboard shots that they have where the camera is pointed right back at his hand and you can barely see it move, and people have commented on that a lot. But he clearly is a master of the throttle. Well, you throw in a short throw throttle, or shorter than even any of us can even imagine, you know, with the eighth turn or whatever it is, and it becomes even harder. So the fact that he made it through and did as well as he did is great, but we're coming up on Donington, a track which has places even greater premiums on braking. So the stress on that right arm and that right hand and that right wrist is going to be even greater. So the key is going to be to see what his team can do to put that together and configure the bike so that he has a chance to do it. Now, last week, there were only 6 days between races, and there were only 2 days from the point of his crash to when they had to put the bike together. You know that Camel is going to come up with some very serious aids to help him out in this quest to try and get up to the front. And I certainly would not count Rossi out either. I wouldn't count him out off the box. I certainly may not count him into a front row or a pole position, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him up front challenging, and I'm pretty sure that he will be there. Will he? Well, we'll have to see. The point of the matter is that he will be in the race. He will be out there. Who else will be out there this damage? I think Melandri has probably come through this week pretty well, considering his injuries, at least to the eye, were more visual. Now, who knows what he's hurting like inside, but he certainly rode a great race. I think probably the biggest question mark here is going to be the gentleman that had a brilliant start to the beginning of the season is still right there in points, and that would be Loris Capirossi. I think he struggled the most, and while I haven't seen a whole lot of reports about his current fitness, I don't know if that's good or not. I imagine, and I'm guessing and speculating, that he is probably still not in very good shape. It's 2 weeks later from, well, currently it's about, 12 days later, from that huge crash and get off in Catalonia. And who knows what kind of shape he is in. He was clearly struggling in Assen. So those are the three guys that we know are definitely going to race. Elias is out. We know that Gibernau is out. He had surgery. He is clearly not going to be back. Hoffman will be continuing to run in his place. We'll have to see if he's back at the German Grand Prix. Who knows? I cannot make a guess on that. I say he's not going to be back, and I think his season isn't necessarily run. I think he'll be back out there. I don't think they'll keep Hoffman on that bike for that long, but we'll have to see how he does. So Gibernau, Elias is not coming back. A young gentleman named Michel Fabrizio, who runs in the DFX Extreme team, will be running in the same spot that he did last weekend, in fact, finishing in front of Cardoso, who is a regular on the Pramac 19 bike. So, I'm sorry, I completely screwed that up. He will be back up. I'd edit this out, but I'll leave it in there. He will be riding Elias's bike, the other Fortuna Honda. Ivan Silva will be riding, Hoffman's bike for the Pramac Dantin team. So that is essentially the story of the injury and exchange of riders, and we'll have to see what is going to happen. Miscellaneous notes. Donington has had a few updates this year, and apparently the track facilities for at least the riders and teams are much better. the weather conditions for the race appear like they're going to be pretty good, certainly not the torrential downpour that we had last year. And so heading into the weekend, that's something to look forward to. Frankly, last year's race was, I've said before that I really like watching rain races. Well, last year's race was a mess. And while Rossi won it under in a brilliant fashion, under horribly, horribly awful conditions, I look forward to not seeing a race like that again. And so we shall see. The fans aren't going to have much new. Certainly their facilities for the racers are going to be better. So let's talk about our preview to Donington, shall we? So frankly, no preview, at least for Donington, frankly, can be done without a quick review of last year's race. And as I just mentioned, clearly the weather last year was horrible. We're not going to have that this year unless, of course, Mother Nature or Gaia, whoever you happen to believe controls the weather, does something that we're not expecting. Weather looks to be good. But last year was horrible. And it's kind of interesting. I will talk about the finishers, but I will also mention that, frankly, the amount of people that finished the race were about equal the amount of people that didn't finish the race. So what are you going to do? Let's just run through who actually did finish the race. First off, I mentioned Valentino Rossi. Fantastic. He rode a brilliant race as well as he could. The race was quite slow compared to your normal Donington race, and frankly, it was not pretty, but it was effective, and it kept him in the points race. So it was 7 of 9 that he won last year. I believe 7 of 9. I hope that's correct. Number two, second up, Kenny Roberts. So Roberts clearly can ride this track in both the wet and dry. We will have to see specifically how he does this weekend, and especially with the new chassis. Number third up and on the box is a gentleman that we simply don't have around anymore. He's over there in World Superbike, and that's Alex Barros. So if the Superbike guys get into a real rain race this season, look for Barros to be up front. I haven't been talking about Superbike so much this lately, and I'm not going to talk about so much what happened last weekend. You've probably seen it on the net, and enjoy that. I'm going to try and keep these a little bit shorter. Fourth up, Colin Edwards, nice run. Fifth up, Carlos Checa, and last year, of course, he was on the Ducati. Sixth, Caparossi. Seventh, Tomata. Eighth, Hoffman, and he was racing on the Kawi last year. Ninth, Tony Elias on the Fortuna Yamaha. 10th, Robbie Rolfo, also gone. And 11th, John Hopkins, who purports to be a great rain rider, but he was actually 2 laps down. And frankly, the Suzuki wasn't doing that great last year, and probably even doing worse in the rain with the exception of China. So, who wasn't there in the end? Well, a lot of guys. I'll run through it. Badaini, remember him? On the Blata WCM. Not really a Blada, kind of a Yamaha R1 in disguise. Ellison, who is doing much better this year. Shaky Byrne for Team Roberts. You know what? I said something about Kenny Roberts, which I should take back, because obviously he was on the Suzuki last year, and he came in second. Ah, faux pas all over the place. Forgive me. I'll get better at this. So, back. James Ellison, Blada WCM. Shaky Byrne on the KTM'd Team Roberts, and we all know what happened with KTM, Proton KR, and a year ago, boy, I've said that before. Gibernau, out on the Movistar Honda, obviously with Ducati this year. Shinya, out on the Kawi. Biaggi, who? Yeah, that guy, on the Repsol Honda, also out. Marco Melandri, Troy Bayliss, who is having a pretty good year in another series. Nick Hayden, and Ruben Chaus. So, wow, lots of names that we haven't heard in a while, unless, of course, I mention them for previous year's races. And I think it's important to talk about what happened in the year prior. We can get an idea of what people are doing on the track. The bottom line for Donington, frankly, is that it's a track that Rossi has always run well at. And also, it's a track that his teammate, Colin Edwards, has done well on in the past. And I believe that, especially given Colin's momentum, I think the guys we're going to be looking at this week, well, let's drop into prediction land, because I don't have any qualifying information. We've got some ideas about who's injured and who's not. We got some ideas about who has momentum. So, buckle yourself in for speculation, opinion, and potential rumor, because that's where I'm heading.
Feel free to send me your comments, race@motogpod.com, and tell me you think I'm full of it or I've got some good ideas. I will say that the tipping competition at rideon2.com, I am still in second place. This is out of some 200 people, 150 active people, but I'm either good or lucky, or a combination of both, so whatever. Rossi, will he qualify well? I think that's key to everything. If he can get a good qualifying effort under his belt, the weather is good, he feels strong during the race, he may be able to get on the box. Will he win? I don't think so. I'm going to run down the guys that did well here last year. Roberts, completely different bike. He was second last year, obviously likes the track, and he did it last year on a Suzuki. He's coming in with obviously the new chassis and the very strong Honda, so he's got the KR211V. And a resurgent bike, and clearly the UK is, to some extent, the home track for Team Roberts. Looking for them to do good things. Colin Edwards loves the track. Won here multiple times in World Superbike. Is on a roll and probably out for blood right now. Look for a good qualifying effort out of him. Carlos Checa, who knows? Last year on Ducati, he did well, but conditions obviously different. Caparossi. Question mark, big question mark. How healthy is he? Can the poor guy breathe? He was a Superman last weekend, and he's, like I said, he's been so quiet this week. We will have to see what kind of, you know, mental state that he's in, because frankly, I think that is what defines his resolve to go out and do as well as he did last week. He didn't do so well. He's going to have a full, frankly, 8 days until the race. Is that enough? Who knows? We'll have to see. Tomata, another question mark. Spotty this year, who knows? I'm not going to put him anywhere near the top. Hoffman on Gibernau's bike, I don't know. Is his results last weekend, you know, maybe coming to terms with the bike? We'll have to see. He's going to have at least this race. He may have another race. We'll have to see what happens. Elias, obviously out. Fabrizio, who knows? Wild card, probably down there with Silva, we'll have to see. Hopper, great qualifying effort last weekend, obviously, first pole. Can he be up there? I don't know. I think it will be interesting to see. I would like to see him do well. I would like to see him, you know, come to terms with the bike, because we know he can start well. See what he can do to get the tires, those Bridgestones, to last a full race. But we know Nakano can do it. So what do? You boil it down. Is the problem is it physical? Is it mental? I think the guy's in good shape. Obviously, there's a lot of factors that go into it, and we're going to have to see what is going to motivate him to, you know, get on the box. The guy hasn't done it yet, and that's got to be killing him. So, I don't know. What are you going to do? Gibernau, obviously, yeah. Depugne, probably not anywhere up there, but we'll have to see. It'd be nice to see a good result from him. I'm not sure of his past efforts at Donington. Danny Pedrosa, we got to talk about him. He had a third last week. He's doing extremely well in the points, and there's no reason that he can't be up there to challenge. But why isn't he? Well, he said that, he's been saying that his not only his starts, but the first, you know, third of his race are pretty poorly run for him. Frankly, it seems like the last thirds of his race have not been doing very well, because that's when he's been going out of races. We're going to have to see what he can pull off. Stoner, kind of a question mark, but a question mark on the high side. Flashes of brilliance, flashes of pain and suffering. What can he do? Shinya was last weekend a flash in the pan, and the result of not having, you know, the competition up there to challenge him. I don't think so. Is Kawasaki building up to something with Shinya? Well, it's not like he has done poorly in the past. He's challenged, but he's another one of those guys that has not necessarily been able to always keep the Bridgestones lasting form throughout the race. He pulled it off last week, but can he do it up against stiffer competition? Well, that competition's not there yet. Hayden. All right, so what does Nicky have to do for this race and the rest of the season? I think, clearly, he has to continue his consistent finishes. Whether that's a win or not,
frankly, to him, right, well, to Honda, yes, of course, it's important. But they'll take either him or Pedrosa up there. If they can get them both on the box, they're thrilled. HRC, interestingly enough, this weekend, probably for the first time, I think, this year, truly gave Nikki top bill in their pre-race press release, which they haven't been doing. They put their spear in the ground for Pedrosa, and they finally gave Nikki, frankly, when you're that far in the lead in the championship, you better give the guy his due before he starts, looking around going, screw you guys, but what do I know? I'm just an interested observer. Vermeulen, somebody that we got to get up there and see what he can do. Another guy flashes a brilliance. He was great at the beginning of the year. He had a really good race last weekend. Is he saddled with a bike that perhaps he's not able to provide enough feedback on to modify it to get it to where he needs to go fast? Because sometimes it's great, sometimes it's not for him. We're going to have to see. Clearly, teammates on the same bikes don't always share the same amount of information. The classic example, of course, was last year with Biaggi and Hayden that probably barely talked to each other. Who knows what's happening this year with, that's an interesting dynamic. I'd love to talk about that more. Maybe I will on another podcast, but you'll look at a team, two guys on these top teams. How much information do they share? Well, my experience and observation is starting to teach me that the answer is not a lot. These guys are teammates, per se, under the general umbrella of the sponsor and the manufacturer, but it's been said in racing that the guy that you really want to beat first is your teammate. And to that end, they don't share all that much information. There are some teammates that share more. I'd like to think that Colin and Valentino, get together over beers and talk about settings and stuff, but that probably doesn't happen very often. And it may be happening more right now. Colin is going to have a better idea about perhaps set up the bike for Donington, but of course Valentino has all the information from the past as how that bike is going to be set up for Donington from his, past wins. Who knows where it's going to be shared? How much is being shared between Hayden and Pedrosa? Probably a little bit more than Hayden and Biaggi. We've got Hopper and Vermeulen. Who knows? I don't. It's an interesting topic. If you want to hear more on that, drop me an email at race@motogpod.com. I'm not sure of a whole lot more that I can talk about. Trying to get some interviews lined up. We'll see how that goes. The PHP for the website certainly will be taken care of shortly. A gentleman named Simon. And Simon, thank you, down in New Zealand. He's going to be giving me a hand on that, so that should help. Those of you that obviously hear this, you've either been notified directly through the email setup or through the feed. And key for me is keeping the feed up. And the PHP is a high secondary. I need to get that done. Or, maybe dropping some information. If you want to hear about it and you don't think there's a podcast up or you're not sure where it is, head on over to rideon2.com, poke into the forums. I'm always there, probably more than I should be. And I'd be happy to chat with you about it. Again, if you want to say hello to our normal host, gentleman Bob Hayes, who is currently deployed and down in Mississippi doing some training with U.S. Naval Reserve, you can get a hold of him directly at bob@motogpod.com. If you want to get to us both, you can get to us at motogpod@motogpod.com or me straight up. That would be race, RACE, just like it sounds, at motogpod.com. I think that's going to cover it for this week. I thank you once again for downloading it. Any stuff you'd like me to touch on or talk about for the next podcast, please feel free to do so. Currently, you've probably noticed that I'm settling into a Thursday/Friday podcast. If I can get some more time, and I think that time is coming soon, I will try and get a wrap-up done after every race. Right now, it's a little bit easier to do the wrap-up and the preview in the same event. For sure, when we start getting these spacings out, I'm going to be doing wrap-ups because people want to know. They don't want to wait. So, with that, I once again will bid you adieu and say adios and thanks, and we will talk to you soon. Enjoy the weekend's races. We'll be right back.
Where's this damn disclaimer? Here it is. MotoGP is a trademark of Dorna Sports SL. The MotoGP OD podcast and MotoGPOD.com are not affiliated with Dorna Sports SL. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners. MotoGP OD is not affiliated with any of them.